Yippee!
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 What's the title of this thing? No title again?
I'm God the Lord, baby, and let do my head.
I didn't want to actually go into this today, but let's do a quick time check. Sorry, I'm creaky. Oh, it's 7:50 almost. I've got very little time. Yeah, I'm still amazed. Still amazed that I'm still podcasting after all this time. And I'm amazed that I've really, in my own personal endeavors, have taken it to another level. I'm surprised that I'm doing personal podcasts. I did not imagine that back in February. I didn't expect that the flagship podcast would go in the back burner either and become secondary to this State of the Podcaster address series. It was originally intended as an experiment to see if I had what it took to bare my soul. But, now 12 episodes in. It's gonna be around for a while. My journey has always been about becoming more comfortable with myself and my opinions and putting them out there, out on the interwebs. So, I'm not entirely too comfortable still with that. I still get a little weird listening to my own episodes, so this needs to continue into the future until I'm at a point where I feel like there's nothing else that could be said. That being said, I am in kind of a rut. So those little commercials were helping me get through that. Hopefully I record something this week that I can fit in here.
Stay tuned and find out. Thanks, MMD.
Okay. Well,
for sharing that.
I'm running late, so I will end this by saying, This is the MMD, and I'm done with this podcast. Fuck you, pay me.
Yeah, I don't like that part. The fuck you, pay me part. Fuck you, pay me. No, good for you for putting it out there and taking the chance to bare your soul a little and speak up and do that. It's odd to hear somebody in their 20s doing what I'm still trying to do in my 60s, you know, 4 decades and I'm still at it. And yet, I feel I'm only now just, well, maybe restarting. But, yeah, we're back to me now, sorry. It's a long journey. And it's never an easy one, and sometimes we just stay in place, or we ignore all the things that we need to work on, or it just gets too uncomfortable. Whatever the case, sigh. I think I'm going to talk for a little while now. It's December 24th, day before Christmas, and this is definitely not going to be Christmas cheer. I won't reveal this or release this until sometime after Christmas. Maybe by New Year's, I don't know. I'm still doing last-minute Christmas shopping and tried to explain to my son, hey, it's not a stupid thing, it's what I like doing. It's not Christmas to me unless on the 24th I'm buying stocking stuffers or something. But I'm just about done. I thought of a few more gifts that I needed to get in case I go to Ottawa to see my family. And I guess that looks like it'll probably happen, although I don't know whether it's going to be me and number one son, me and number one and number two son, or me, number one son, number two son, and my wife. That's still out, or possibly none of us. That still remains to be seen, but let's park that. That's just going to play itself out however it does. I keep sighing like I'm about to say something heavy, and I don't rehearse these things, but in my mind as I was driving here towards Bluffers Park, where I am now on a very foggy day, it's quite nice, I thought about what I wanted to say, and it was along the lines of, I'm a little frustrated at maybe being misunderstood. Now, this is not you, the listener, because you are only reacting to whatever it is that I put out here, and I sure put out a lot of strange messages sometimes. But I guess I'm just owning up to my own frustration with words and trying to express your thoughts, your ideas, your feelings, and how futile it is. Because if somebody, you can only put out just a fraction of it. This time, I'm feeling whatever it is, anxious or sad or happy. I mean, or drunk, you hear that off. That's easy enough for me. And I guess I'm probably contradicting myself, because I think the podcast I put out from Windsor, the one before this, you pretty well knew where I was at. But on the personal level, I feel over the years, over these 10 years of podcasting, I don't know what kind of a picture I've painted of myself in the listener's mind. But I fear, I don't know if fear is the right word, I feel it's not really an accurate picture. It's not really who I am. And of course, again, that's just my fault, for that's the way I chose to express myself. Part of it is just my nature. I like to dig, and perhaps I'm guilty of overthinking. My son just said that to me this morning before I went out. And that's true. I do overthink things and second guess. And just lately, I feel rudderless. Let me put it that way. I feel rudderless. Like, I don't know where I'm going. And part of this, I think, is a natural byproduct of the Gestalt therapy. You're supposed to be questioning who you are and what you are and where you are in life, I think. If you want to make change, you've got to be honest. Change just doesn't come from buying a new hat. It comes from honesty, from maybe opening doors you don't necessarily want to open. And I'm in actually the very early stages of that process right now. That and some other things that are just going on that are helping me to reflect. And while I'm doing that, I'm also more and more aware of how messages get distorted, how the things we say will be interpreted one way by somebody, which might be completely at odds with what we meant. I mean, that's just so common, but it's frustrating. And then somebody else turns around and responds or says something, and you pick it up from whatever mood you happen to be in, or for when, you know, in reaction to whatever has just happened, or whether or not you had enough sleep, or you got a stomachache, or whatever's going on, and you just completely misinterpret that message. And this is just all part of the problem of human intercommunication. We just continue to misunderstand and misrepresent ourselves and each other. And I guess I've thought for a very long time, I've been thinking I've done a good job on this podcast. Gee, there's the Scarborough dude, bearing his soul once again, telling you where he's at, what's going on, how he's feeling, and isn't that great? He's really being honest, and he's really putting himself out there. And now I'm at the point where I feel, no, I'm just beginning this whole process, and it's just happens to be ironic that I'm beginning it as this thing winds down. And not to keep going on about this, but I will keep going on about this. It's just fitting that I stop this, what I'm doing now, that I stop. Because it's not helping me. It's an escape. And great, it's wonderful to have escapes. We all need them. What the hell? That's true of anything that we enjoy. Almost always there's some kind of escape from the things we don't enjoy. And there's enough of those in life. There's enough shit that goes on in life. So, of course, we look for outlets and things that make us feel good, that we have fun with. And this 10-year ride on this podcast has just been a pleasure. It's been, wow, really fun. Am I ever glad I've had this? And I have to be very careful, because if I say, well, boys and girls, I'm on a new journey now, sounds a bit trite, a bit superficial, a bit suspicious, you know. Oh, yeah, sure. Tell us about it. It's just that in every new situation, you've got to try to be open. I think, I don't know if I explained this 2 podcasts ago or not, but it was something that was said in my therapy, and it was about, if the less you can try, the less you try to control the situation, the more the space opens up around you. We were having dinner, it was last night. I went out and bought a sushi and maki tray, a great big one, enough for 5 or 6 people, and it was more than enough for the 4 of us. And it was nice. The tray was on the table. Wow, there's just so much of that salmon and lots of good stuff there. Lots of good stuff that we all enjoyed. Both my sons had places to go and wanted to eat and get off, and have to drive one to the town center and the other one to the beer store. And they looked at me and I just seemed to be staring at the food. And I think somebody commented, Dan, what's the matter? You're kind of out there. And I was absent-mindedly staring at the food, but I was happy. I was enjoying hearing my son talk about his trip to New Orleans. And hearing number 2 son ask him questions. And my wife asking about the food. And the 3 of them having a conversation with me just sitting there in the middle, but not having to be part of it or to steer it in any way. And it was an example of creating that space that gets bigger and wider the less you try to control something. And it was quite wonderful, and yet it was misunderstood. People thought, well, you know, Dad, what's with your face? You know, you're just kind of blank. I mean, nobody said that, but it was suggested, like something was wrong. And so I explained to my son, no, like, you guys, I'm going to go through some changes. This is not going to be an easy and a pleasant ride necessarily. And I'd say that to any of you who might be friends out there. If I happen to snap at you sometime, well, that's, I snapped at you. I think I'm really genuinely wanting to change some things in my life, change some things in my life. Change how I look at things, change how I feel about things, and maybe it's not even so much change as it is discover what my real feelings are, as opposed to just what's good for this time or this place or what's easiest way to fit in here or all the other things that you do out there and I do just to maintain balance or some degree of comfort in a social situation. And it's always a problem for people when you just say, fuck that, man, I don't want to do that. Bullshit. People get sometimes rattled or disturbed or what's the matter with him? And my feeling is just, hey, fuck you. I am stubborn to the core, and it's not that I'm trying to get rid of my core or necessarily change it. Maybe it'll shift, and yeah, there are blocks, and there are things that trigger me, and I'm trying to learn to take a deep breath. So my son put me through this morning, Dad, sit down, don't say anything, just take a deep breath. And it works. Christmas is a stressful time of year. Who doesn't know that? And this year, in my head, has certainly been one of the craziest. I went to my local mall yesterday. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I'm looking for... I bought this lovely little... I don't know, it's a wooden little cat in Windsor at a little gift shop, which is a lovely place that Shane and Lauren directed me to. It was for my wife, and she likes cats and the images of it. It was just a nice little thing. And then I realized yesterday, after buying it, you can't give somebody an empty gift box. Any box that you give, any container, has to have something in it. It's like an old British tradition. You can never give a wallet unless you put either a shiny penny or a nickel or something in it. Not in those days, it wasn't a $20 bill. It was just a piece of coin. It was just to keep up with the tradition, you know? Like pennies on a dead man's eyes. So I thought, Jesus, yeah. So I went to my local mall, and there's got to be at least 4 or 5 jewelry places. Now, there's one I used to really like called 1010 Jewelry, and it was the same husband and wife combo, and they would install new batteries in your watch and get it working, and they did fine craftsmanship, and they had nice, nice jewelry. You know, white gold and diamonds and stuff, and I've bought from them before, but I think I've told you before, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, spending way too much money on earrings that I don't know if I've ever even seen my wife wear. So I went in, saw some pairs, looked at them, and right away, oh, this one, $395. Holy shit, you know, my man, $400, and if she doesn't like it, and I hesitate, okay, $365. Well, pardon me if it appears I'm making a funny accent. I'm just saying, yeah, this is a multicultural shopping mall. As soon as she knocks the price down, suddenly I figure, okay, well, you were going to rob me the first time, and because I hesitate, now you're going to bring it down. Well, there are four price drops before I walked away. So I'm feeling kind of pissed. Hey, well, Jesus, you wouldn't let me pay that much, and now you're saying, well, gee, it's down. We've gone down $100. Went to another place. Found another pair of earrings. Really, really nice. Really nice. And I think they were the same. $395. Okay, for you, a half price. Gets out to calculate. $185. If that's the correct math. Yeah, $390, $185. Well... Jesus, like, why is there a price that says $390 on it and you're going to charge me $185? What are they really worth? And you're feeling cheated and abused and conned and you're just pissed off. Like, fuck! Jesus Christ! And you walk into another one and the lady just can't wait to serve you. I got a nice show over here and you're thinking, fuck that! I'm not buying any goddamn fucking earrings! Fuck it! Fuck it! Fuck it! Sorry. But it just, you know, I'm venting now, okay? I'm going to get this out of my system. The worst is yet to come. So I'm left with the problem of this empty box. Well, my gas tank's empty. Gas is 99 cents a liter here in Toronto. Fill up the gas, and of course they always have lottery tickets. And I can use my petrol points to get lottery tickets. Unfortunately, I didn't have enough petrol points anymore. I don't know. I remember I bought music or something and spent them all. Oh, yeah, and then transferred some on to some other point system. I don't know. I got rid of all my petrol points. So no more free lottery tickets. That was a mistake. Anyway, I bought a couple. Okay, no. All I'm going to give her. And so the draw is tonight. You know, who knows? Fate could be just moving into making my wife a millionaire overnight. She gets a lottery ticket in that little thing. And satisfied with that. Okay, that's it. It's not jewelry that you don't want or wouldn't wear. It's a chance at $1 million. Here we go. Problem solved. I sat down. I was really tired after this. I'd gone into Canadian Tire wishing that Canadian Tire sold jewelry. they probably do somewhere, but I didn't find anything. And I always end up in Canadian Tire every Christmas thinking, this is the magnet. This is what draws me in. This is a shop I'm comfortable in. That or Staples. Well, this is not the place for Christmas shopping. But anyway, I got very tired, came out of the mall. One person gets up from a bench. There's not enough benches in this mall. There's a lot of seniors and people in wheelchairs. And anyway, somebody gets up and, oh, thank God, I just need to sit for a minute. I sat down. The minute I sat down, a fucking flea jumps onto me. Now you're thinking, well, how do you know that? I know it because I saw this fucking thing jump and land on my lily white hand. Not so lily white anymore. All old and gnarly. But anyway, the fucking flea. Jesus Christ. Fuck. Pinched the thing. Managed to grab it before it got anywhere. Pinched the fucker. Killed it. Jesus. Fucking. What the fucking flea doing on me? God damn. What kind of a fucking shopping mall is this? Who the fuck was sitting there? God damn it. Sorry, it's Christmas. Shouldn't be venting like that, but that's what we do on the Dixon James podcast. Not sure if it's your favorite, but it's my fucking favorite podcast. This is my fucking favorite podcast, let me tell you. My fucking favorite. Anyway, killed the flea and then just thought, God damn it, I'm getting out of here now. I'm not coming back. Well, I was back today. Not only that, hey, I broke my self-imposed Walmart ban. Remember, for years I've refused to step into a Walmart. Well, of course, they put the Zellers out of business. They're gone. There is no more Zellers. There is no other default place to go to. I haven't been to a Target yet, but there is nothing else in that mall. So I went in and I got things. Now, I did something else. I mentioned losing my sense of what's right, what's not right, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. I'm really, man, it's getting shakier and shakier. And it's not the things I say on this podcast. It's the choices I make, the things I buy, the clothes I wear, the foods I eat. Everything is coming into question. I don't know if that's the right thing anymore. And it's really, really always comes to a head at Christmas when I just get these inappropriate gifts. Well, I did some gift shopping in Did I say Kingston before? You know I meant Windsor. But anyway, Windsor. I'll take my chances. They've already been questioned. Then I questioned them. There's a whole long story there, but I won't get into that now. I bought some games for the family. I bought a Monopoly game. What the fuck? You serious? Yeah, yeah. Because I really want to sit down at the dining table with my family and play Monopoly one night, even if we play it only once. I bought a Jenga. That's the big blocks thing. I don't know how you play it, but I see all the pictures and you pull things out. I thought that'd be a fun family game. Because we don't do enough family stuff. And years and years and years ago, maybe not so many years ago, maybe less than five, maybe 3 years ago, maybe my younger son commented about us not playing games or having games. I don't even know when. But that sort of stuck with me. It's been in my mind. So I didn't buy gifts for people. I did. I bought little things here and there. But mostly, I just bought a couple of games from Santa for the Onabol family. Guess I can end there. I could keep going on, but I'd spoil what I've already spoiled. So, hope you and your family have had a nice Christmas and avoided some of the stress that's so much a part of it. I did watch this morning, I had the TV on, a Doctor Who, which was out of this world. Like, what a mind blower. Oh my God. I don't know anything about Doctor Who. I've never followed Doctor Who. I just don't know, but just happened to have this one show on, and he had stopped time and had to be killed to get time moving again. It was, wow. It was trippy. It was very, very neat. And then I'd go back and forth to The Bible, the movie on History Channel, I guess. The Bible. Yeah. Doctor Who on Space, The Bible on History. Channel 54, 55. Flick, 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 flick. It kind of fit, the Doctor Who and the Bible. And, you know, in fact, it fit very nicely with Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt in the Old Testament, you know, for staring, going back and looking at the city. Was it Sodom or Gomorrah or both, whatever? It was brutal, the amount of bloodshed and fighting and 400 years of slavery for the promised people in Egypt. And you look at these stories, holy shit. And last night, The King of Kings was on. I can't watch the ending anymore. I'm just, you know, I know what happens, but it's just too, it's too painful. It's too gruesome. But there was a neat scene when Christ was up in the hills and talking to the multitudes and giving his basic sermons. And of course, they scaled it down for the movie, just the basics and a few questions of, you know, what it is to be a Christian. And it was really nice. You couldn't find fault with that. Like, hey, yeah, that's good. But you could see from the Roman point of view and from the power, the people in positions of power, this man was a modern-day terrorist. He didn't plant bombs to himself and, you know, detonate in front of shopping malls, that kind of thing. But a threat to the establishment. And I thought to Christmas, this Christmas that we're all going through with the shopping malls full and basically the American version of Christmas, the capitalist version, I should say, maybe not the American version, the capitalist version, and how Christ would have fucking hated it every bit and would have been disgusted, would be spitting in disgust at what we have done, supposedly in honor of his birthday. And it's kind of nice that in a way the true meaning of Christmas is Santa Claus. It's not about Jesus anymore. It hasn't been for a very long time. It's about Santa Claus, because nothing could be better to suit the capitalist model, the consumer model, the enslavement model, than Santa Claus. So we should be seeing Merry Santa, not Merry Christmas. And just sort of park the Christian side and save that for some other time. Guess that's about it. I apologize if this is unpleasant listening for you. But hey, you have chosen to listen to the Dixon James podcast, and you can stop anytime you like to. I'm going to motor on. This is Dixon Jean's podcast, I believe, number 490. My son last night said, Dad, you're just going to keep going. You're going to hit 750. You're going to hit 1,000. You're just going to keep going. That's number two, son. I said, no, I don't think so. Scarborough Dude. Signing off. I'll be back later to finish this baby off. Bye for now.
I ran down the road, pants down to my knees, screaming, please come help me. That Canadian shaman gave a little too much to me, and I'm writing a novel. Because it's never been done before. First house that I saw, I wrote house up on the door and told the people who lived there they had to get out, 'cause my reality is realer than yours, and there's no time in the present. And there's a black dog on the bed. I went to the backyard to burn my only clothes, and the dog ran out and said, you can't turn nothing into nothingness with me no more. Well, I'm no doctor, but that monkey might be right. Makes me empty my pockets, holding cold in the corner, burning 20s as if I was the mayor. Well, I don't need any new friends, mama, but I could really use something to do. So if you're up for it sometime, I swear you wouldn't have to be my muse. Drinking poppy tea. I could have sworn last night I passed out in my van, and now these guys are pouring one for me. I never leave the canyon, 'cause I'm surrounded on all sides by people riding.
What else do you do except to lie? To lie to yourself and to others, and to lie to everything which, in the depths of your heart, you know to be the truth. You are obliged to feign an outward respect for persons and institutions that you find absurd. You remain timidly attached to moral or social conventions which you despise and condemn, in which you know have no justification at all. It's the permanent contradiction between your ideas, your desires, and all the dead forms and vain pretenses of your civilization, which make you sad, troubled, and imbalanced. In this unbearable conflict, you lose all your joy of life and all feeling of personality, because at every minute, the free play of your instincts is being constricted, impeded, and stopped. This is the poisonous, deadly scourge of the civilized world.
Checking in the oven. We didn't have turkey. We had a salmon. Beautiful salmon. Big hunk of salmon. For the four of us for Christmas dinner. I know all you folks out there are eating turkey, but we thought about it. Number one, some went out with my wife to do some shopping, and they said, let's skip the turkey. Let's have salmon instead. Something we really all enjoy. Maple glazed. My wife did it up beautifully. Number two, son mashed the potatoes. I just sat in the living room in front of the new Kotetsu and said, is there anything I can do to help? I'll open the wine. That's my usual role. And we had sparkling wine and cheered and toasted ourselves, and I had already dipped into a few of the 15 bottles of beer my son smuggled back from the USA duty-free, thank you. I shouldn't focus on that point. It's the generosity of number one son this year, who played Santa and turned this into an absolutely wonderful Christmas. So, I got too many thoughts. It's like there's one exit, and every thought in my head is racing for that exit to get out ahead of the others. And so this is going to be a little bit of a ramble cast. As I try and sort things out, I should just take a deep breath. First things first, apologies for the preceding 20 or 30 minutes or whatever it turned out to be. And my pre-Christmas stress. Boy, oh boy. That was just high up on that thermometer, like right at boiling point. And man, oh man, what a change. Christmas Day in the Onobol household that is ours was absolutely wonderful. We were together the four of us. First time my number one son has been home in a few years for Christmas. And we were together the whole time and really, really, really had a nice time. It was special the way you want Christmas to be special. And all the lead up that I went through, I'm not buying any gifts this year, to buying bits and pieces of gifts and pieces here and there. It all worked out. My son, as I say, picked up the slack. He came back, and I guess he surprised everybody. I came down and I saw this huge thing in the middle of the living room. I didn't know it was a box or what. It was covered in a blanket, the black top on it. And I just sat there. Well, I don't know. Did my wife put this here? Did my son? I mean, it was done while I was sleeping Christmas Eve, which, of course, is usually my role when I go and fill the stockings, which I didn't do this year. I'll make up for that next year. But this thing in the living room. And then when finally Kenji came downstairs, do you like the kotatsu? Kotatsu is a Japanese traditional table that you sit at on zabuton or little mats on your tatami floor. And it's got a heating element. The old ones, of course, are charcoal, and this is now electric. And when he was in Japan, he bought the electric heating element when he came back in November. Didn't tell anybody. Just bought this electric heater that gets attached to these tables in Japan. And you put a big blanket or a quilt over it, and then you sit cross-legged on the floor with your feet stretched out right underneath this, and you feel all toasty warm because traditionally Japanese houses aren't heated. So, of course, we had one when we lived in Japan, and they're just wonderful things. Any of my friends who've lived in Japan know what a treat this is, and it brings people close because you're sitting around this thing. Well, it's a lot harder for me to sit on the floor now and get up. Some of the traditional homes are, well, not so many, but places sometimes even have a well way to put your feet down. These don't. This is, you're cross-legged and you're down there, and it's hard. But it was pulled up in front of my chair, the recliner. What he had done is he came back with this thing and then went to IKEA and bought a table and bolted this heater onto the table. And then he went online to eBay or whatever, and bought this voltage regulator, converter, so that a Japanese heating element will work fine on North American, you know, electrical system. And then had a friend come over and put the whole thing together. And then, what are we doing in the garage? And the friend came over, who was in his work, has assembled many IKEA products, and put this whole thing together. And then after we were all in bed, my son carried it out from the garage and set it up in the living room so that when we got up, there was this wonderful thing. And we spent the whole day around it. It was absolutely wonderful. Everybody getting toasty warm. I had gone out and bought games. I said, and my motivation behind that was that we don't do enough, the four of us, or together as a family. And if I got a couple of games, We might. Well, Jenga was a big hit. I think I even posted a picture of, you know, the game, you stack these wooden blocks and you have to pull one out and keep rebuilding it. And the idea is to not be the one who makes the whole thing come tumbling down. Lots of fun. I've never had a set. It was the perfect gift to get, and we all loved it. And it brought out each of our four very different personalities. I've got, as you know, a very unique wife. That's a terrible way to phrase it, isn't it? She's Japanese. She's strong-willed. She is one of a kind. She grew up in a different era from, you know, from me, from the younger Japanese people I run tours for. She's out there. And it was just fun. And then we played Monopoly. And that went on till 1:30 this morning. It was the first time my wife had actually played Monopoly. My son, number two son, said, "The only time I've ever played this, somebody got angry and just smashed the board and all the pieces." So he had never played through an entire game either. We had a stalemate. By 1:30, we finally realized, okay, a couple more rounds each. Number two son was holding Boardwalk and Park Place with hotels. Number two son had one whole side of the board. Number one son, sorry. And I had some properties that people just kept landing on with three houses. And we were just, anybody could have won. We could have gone on forever, you know. It was neat. My poor wife, of course, got forced out early through some bad dealing. I'm not going to give you a rundown of the Monopoly game. The point I'm making here was just so much fun to play together and be together and have the different personalities emerge. Like, it was no holds barred. Like, this wasn't just a let's be nice, it's Christmas. This was, I'm going to win, which is the way you're supposed to play Monopoly. It may be the only time ever. Like, by this morning, I thought, okay, now I'm going to get rid of that game. I'm going to give it away. We'll never play it again. But perhaps I'll just put it away and bring it out next Christmas. I got a wonderful bottle of Hibiki Suntory Scotch with Suntory whiskey, and so after the bubbly with the salmon, my wife said, "Let's open the Hibiki," which was quite wonderful for her. She was a bit loaded by the end of it, in a nice way, you know, in a funny laughing way. So we had tasted that, and boy, is that ever a nice whiskey! Oh. I warned both sons. I'm hiding it. This is going to be put away and treasured and savored. And then, as I say, those 15 bottles of beer, all from all over the States, New Orleans, and a couple of Christmas ales, both of which I drank, of course. Beautiful shirts, one of which I'm wearing now, and slippers and socks. And just, I got a lot, far more than I gave. And I'm not saying that to make me sound like a nasty old cheap man. That wasn't it at all. I just struggled. And everything was fine and everything worked out fine. Everybody got stuff. And there's more to come. We have two January birthdays and a February birthday, my wife and my two sons. So there'll be more happening. But for everybody, it was just a great Christmas for the four of us. And I wanted to share that just because you heard how miserable I was beforehand. And I've talked a lot recently about these changes. And I explained because I am going through some changes. And I can see progress. I have this tremendous feeling. I wrote about it today that 2015 is going to be a very good year. For me, anyway, I don't know about the rest of the world. Sorry, can't solve all your problems. But I know for me personally, 2015 is going to be a good year. And I'm, of course, happy to feel that way. What else did I want to share? Like I said, I started off a bit with an apology. For those of you who still tune in and sometimes hear me rant and rave and scream like that, I don't know how pleasant an experience it is, but the thing is, of course, on this podcast, I don't hold back, and I try and share with you where I'm at. And it's very different from Facebook, where you just want to put your best face forward. You know, look at all the fun. Look at all the stuff. I posted pictures of the wonderful treats my son made. Now, why? You know, what was it? Thingy, bruschetta, just amazing. And from scratch, you know, chopping up onions and tomatoes and stuff. This is number one son who likes to cook and do stuff like that. And the other one was this, what do you call these wonderful dips, creamy dips with garlic and chickpeas? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, it's so good. Oh, all that, I'm ready to go back and open up another one of those special beer. It's only, what is it, 2 p.m? Yeah, no, I just dropped number one son off. He's heading off to an archery place. It's like, you know, these laser quest things. Only this one is done with bows and arrows, and it's new, and it's still on a trial basis, so a friend of a friend got a whole bunch of them in to have a free game today to see how this thing works, and I guess they're going in as guinea pigs. Just the idea of shooting an arrow at somebody, but apparently there's protective gear, and it doesn't hurt. Like I said, laser quest. No, I'm talking paintball here. That's what I meant. It sounds dangerous, but kind of fun at the same time. It will be. Okay. I guess that's it. Gee, I was talking about all these thoughts screaming for the exit, trying to get out, and suddenly they're all gone. I think I just had this welling up of emotion about this Christmas. And, I still am harping a little bit on the shortcomings of podcasting, as much as I love it, and people just do it for it is what it is. Let's put it that way. And whatever comes out, and however you take it, that's just fine. Doesn't have to be any particular one thing. But sometimes, I know on the Dixon Janes podcast, my podcast, I try to think, or I like to think, I'm really sharing with you quite intimately my feelings and thoughts and where I'm going and where I've been. And I don't mean just in old stories, but I mean in terms of my journey, my inner journey. And it's a very difficult thing to do, because no matter what words you put out there, they can so easily be misinterpreted, misunderstood. Everybody has a different sort of set of reference points and a different background. And even the fact of whatever age you are when you're listening to this, you're going to perceive things in keeping with your age and range of experience. And that might be quite different. There it is, invariably going to be very different from mine. Coming at things from a 66-year-old point of view, with a lot of world experience behind me, I see there's just a different picture. And I'm not saying better, worse, or anything else. I'm just saying it's a different. Mine tends to be quite broad, I like to think, because of where I've lived and the challenges I've taken on. And so what sometimes might just seem like a simple solution to somebody, well, just do it, or don't do that, do this. I spend a lot more time backing up, till I have a broader viewpoint, a broader perspective. And I'm not bragging here, sorry, or condemning you and your viewpoint. I'm just saying that it's sort of something that comes with age, is you do try to focus more on the bigger picture. What are all the elements here? For example, buying those games, on one level, okay, he went into a store. He broke his own self-imposed ban and went into bloody, Walmart, and bought Jenga Monopoly. Okay, so Scarborough Dude bought 2 games for the family. Yeah, so what? But the fact that I knew the reason for buying this game, so it would pull the 4 of us closer together. Like, that came from a deep place. That wasn't just, oh, shit, I got to get something. What is it? What am I going to get? Oh, there's an idea. It was long term coming, and it was a reflection or a manifestation of something I remember my number 2 son saying perhaps years ago. We don't play games together. It was something that was the essence of his message. I don't know how he said it, but... because there were times when we did. We tried, we played cards, we used to do different things, and then things sort of fade away and didn't happen. So I very consciously bought games so that we would play them. And I said, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do. Because everybody was into it, everybody wanted to. But that was coupled with this totally unexpected surprise. We have an entirely new playing area, this big table that my son just bought and set up, found a blanket, found the right perfect quilt to put over it, this huge black shiny table with plenty of room for the boards, for the games, for our drinks, and we were in this intimate kotatsu place. Those two things came together, me buying the games and my son buying this thing without either of us knowing. That's quite marvelous. That's quite wonderful. And this, these are the things that can happen and do happen when you have a positive outlook, when you do feel open to things. And you know, I struggle. I'm telling you, I close as many doors as I open. I got to run around and reopen doors that I've slammed shut. But this can be true if you want it. And in all that time, like the sharing of stories and the intimacy, the closeness, and us, like in my mind, as I picture last night in my mind, I'm seeing us as a family unit, which I haven't seen before in the same way. Of course, I've seen it before, but I mean, it's been disjointed and broken. And maybe it was just the joy of having my number one son back for Christmas. After, you know, this trip down to New Orleans, and he'll be off again in the new year, who knows where and when. But there was this connection, and it was an awareness of the uniqueness of each of us. As my wife sat at the table and talked about the different skin tones and colors and how... as children grow, now soon to be 22 and 24, your facial expressions change. My son went and got a very close shade haircut, which just out of the blue, number two son, which, wow. Yeah, now he sure look different now. And, of course, his older brother had bought him this really neat hair gel for when you have longer hair. And said, well, I guess it'll grow back. There is this wonderful sense of, hey, this family that I've created, and I'm not taking full credit because my wife had something to do with it and my children are part of this growing process, but this thing that happened, what, 30 years ago, 1985, 86 when we got married, 1986, 28 years ago, this thing that happened of us uniting and giving rise to these two wonderful boys, we are all quite unique. And I think there's just this sense of we are who we are. It's hard to explain. I'm sorry, it's beginning to sound very, very trite. Very, yeah, so your point is the same applies to anybody, you know. And I say, yeah, we're all so unique. Yeah, and... but maybe some of you will get what I'm trying to do here and trying to explain. It was just a sense of joy and great happiness at looking and seeing each of the faces before me and the personalities and the characters and the uniqueness and even the nastiness that came out in the Monopoly game. It just... was good. God damn, man, that took me a long time to get that out. But that is what we do here. We just use this as a little bit of therapy. And I'm still working on that whole concept of podcasting as therapy. And today I flipped it, and I didn't come up with that title. I was doing podcasting for mental health, which I've probably talked about before. That may be maybe a suitable title. I'm thinking in terms of wanting to talk about this to other people who may not have considered it in this light. it's become a bit of a mission for me to put out there. And especially as it winds down, I'm talking about PodCamp Toronto, that I can say, look, hey, I had a 10-year experiment of trying to find out who I was, and the end result is, after 10 years, you're not going to find out in a podcast. Go back into real life, talk to somebody, maybe a professional, and get some honest feedback, because that's what's helping make some of these changes, that and some other things happening along the way. All right, I've babbled on quite long enough. I'm sitting, it's warm sunshine, actually, and it's lovely. I'm here at, I don't think I even said where I was. I decided not to go to Bluffers Park today. I'm here at Thompson Park, and it's huge. It's green. There's not a piece of snow in the entire park. It's green. And it's a vast panoramic view that I'm looking at right now. It's wonderful. All the trees are bare except for the, is it what I call them, conifers? The ones without the leaves, these are the deciduous ones, are they not? I don't know. It's just a wonderful view. There's just a few people doing their walks. That's what I should be doing. Oh, by the way, prior to this, I think, or maybe after this, I don't know, you'll figure it out. I'm including a quote from my book by, was it Father John Misty, I think, which is the new CD my son gave me, and I will play a song. I found the perfect song. I'm writing a book or something like that, which will also go in this podcast. And I think it's another one of those pieces that just fits. This is when I said that little key of wanting to learn to hold back a little, and by holding back, you're creating a wider space. And I think the wider space, in turn, allows others to enter. And that's a very neat thing. There's one more thing I want to share with you here. And it's a quote by Joseph Campbell, which my therapist shared with me, excuse me, on my last visit. I had asked him to send it to me. Yeah, I love it. And I really think you two out there in listening land should pay heed to this. If you can see your own path laid out in front of you, step by step, you know it's not your path. Your own path you make with every step you take. That's why it's your path. Joseph Campbell. I absolutely treasure and love that one. And get that and feel that and know that to be true. It just says so much. And it's kind of interesting because the other piece that I just read that was on the album or the CD sleeve of this new CD number one son gave me for Christmas has something sort of that fits with that. Oh my God. Some kid is doing their exercise. No, I think it's a grown man. They have little workstations around this park for you to get exercise. So I'm going to leave it there. Gee, 25 minutes. I am sorry. But Scarborough Doo, just wanted to share with you the flip side of Christmas. I've come out the other side. You saw me going into it. You heard the frustration and anger and short-temperedness and everything else. And no, that squeaky noise is not even bothering me in the least. But I am going to take a very nice walk and talk to you in a bit. I don't think we're entirely done with this podcast yet. I think I'm at the point where now that I know the numbers are getting near the end, I'm going past that 60-minute mark, and I'm not in the least bit concerned about it. All right, yeah, now it's starting to annoy me. Jesus Christ. Stop it and do something else, would you? Scarborough Dude, signing out on Boxing Day 2014. And by the time you get this, perhaps it'll be New Year's. So I'm wishing all of you all the best. Thanks for staying with me and sharing with me in 2014, as so many of you did. And best wishes for the new year, and hope it's a good one for you. Bye for now. We'll go out with the squeaking exercise machine. Not too much car noise. I've got the recorder stuck in the visor. As I sit here in my PT Cruiser cruising... No, it's not a PT Cruiser. Sorry, that was the earlier car. Kind of wish I was in that one. I liked it till it fell apart. In the Mazda. Crawling at 90 kilometers an hour along Highway 3. Speed limit is 80. And there is a duffer ahead of us. One guy holding us all back. Now, I love this road. This is Highway 7, just past Silver Lake. This runs between Ottawa, when you get out of Ottawa, and Peterborough. It's a lovely route, one of my favorite drives in all of Ontario. And I take it whenever I get a chance, when I'm not in a hurry, as an alternative to the 401, which is just a straight, divided highway, you know, all the way. Most boring ride you could make. This is a beautiful, winding road. It's two lanes. It's dangerous. There are a lot of accidents on here. And especially when people are in a hurry, like I am, for no good reason other than I like driving fast on this road. It's a great, windy road to make you feel like it's fun to drive, taking these corners. And it's just one old fucker. You know, I shouldn't find fault. If we were doing 90, I mean, he's not below the speed limit. But nobody will pass him. And it's a dangerous road to pass people on. It really is. You want to wait for that sign that says, okay, in 2 kilometers is a passing lane. In other words, sit tight, buddy. It's double-lined right now because we're on these curves. And you know you really got to boot it. And the trouble is, there's 3 cars in front of me. So I can't, and they're all tight. So I can't just pass one. I have to pass 3 cars. You really want to have enough time to get your speed up and a clear, open line of sight so that there's nothing coming the other way, because there ain't nothing worse than a head-on collision. And I don't plan to go out that way, thank you. So, anyway, I called Mr. Wooby. Mr. Francis Wooby lives just close by to where I was, Silver Lake area. Oh, there's one passer. Oh, two. Two people passing. Okay, all right, we got a window. We got a window. We got a window. Nice, 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 nice. So I'm just going to tuck in behind. I'm not going to try and pass both of them. I'm going to see if they dare to speed up, and they're doing okay. Good. We got past the duffer, and another one is passing him. It's just that on a road like this, you can be held up forever, and it's not that we're in a rush, except I guess it seems like we're in a rush. It's just fun to go fast, you know? And I'm kind of an impatient guy. I don't take chances, but I want to go. I want to feel the freedom of the open road. And that's why I take this sometimes. You'll never get a feeling like this on the 401, because you can drive at 130, 140 and, you know, just hope there are no unmarked patrol cars nearby. Always on the way here, I made good time coming to Ottawa. A family dinner. And very, very nice. See my brother, have some good conversations with him. See my sister, my nephew and niece, who I'm very fond of, and their children. And I ended up staying at their place last night and played games, drank a lot of beer, had good conversations about, you know, the future, life, philosophies, religion, dreams, marriage, all those wonderful things to actually engage in real conversations about. And I love that, and that's why I always come. And I'm sort of, you know, I'm the Uncle Ken. I got a nice little position here. It's Crazy Uncle Ken is usually the real nickname. But that's okay. I'm very comfortable in that role. And I adore my little niece's daughter, who's just cute, about 10 years old or something. And it's just such a giggle to be silly with, you know. And that's just fun. It's just fun interacting with people. Anyway, said goodbye to them before noon and called up Mark Blevis. I believe some of you know that name. Mark Blevis. And arranged to meet him for coffee in Ottawa. So we did that. We talked for an hour and a half. A lot of gossip shared. Talked about Touch, the book. He didn't give me a copy of the book, but he did give me like a postcard, like an advertisement for the book. I guess it was kind of a hint, but that's all right. That's all right. And just went on, talked about Anthony Marco and his empire and how he's actually cornering the market. Very much the way, I forget what the brothers are called, the guys who tried to corner the market on silver. I think it appears Anthony may be doing the same on podcasting. I'm not sure. But it sort of just comes across that way a little bit. But more power to him. More power to him. I hope he's smiling when I say that, because he knows it's all in jest. We talked a lot about the podcasting community. We talked about the 10 years and the changes that people have gone through as individuals. And you know, the people we know well and their lives and how they've... all the things that happened to all of us over a 10-year span. It's quite amazing when you think about it and pull up the pieces. So I ask you, the listener, all right, wind the clock back 10 years and then sort of think forward. And what changes have occurred? What growth? In most cases, I certainly hope for the better for all of you, but sometimes there are unpleasant things that happen in that time. Anyway, that aside, talked about the reunion. I told Mark, you know, hey, come on, it's got to be in Kingston. I insisted Kingston. And Mark says, Ottawa is easier for me. And I insist, even though it's none of my business whatsoever because I have nothing to do with it, I insist if there's going to be a PAB reunion, it has to be Kingston. So I'd like to hear your input on that. Give it to Mark. Tell Mark what you think. Mark says, Ottawa's easier and we got that wonderful venue. And I say, the venue doesn't matter. Kingston is where a lot of these friendships gelled, where it all came together. And it's, you know, inconvenient for everybody, basically, except for somebody who lives in Kingston. Not many of them. And 2015, that's this year, this summer, would be the 10th anniversary. Mark's thinking it might be more interesting to hold it, celebrate the 10th anniversary on the 11th anniversary. And, you know, that's not a bad idea either. That's worth pursuing. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the future unfolds. Meanwhile, hey, there's big things happening with Northern Voice. Well, I can't say there's big things happening. There's a potential for big things to happen for Northern Voice, which is a gathering of storytellers and what have yous in Vancouver. And I've always wanted to get to one of those. Just need to know what the dates are and what the focus is and... we'll see. So stay tuned. Meanwhile, the closest thing coming up for any of you who are listening where there's a chance of getting together will be PodCamp Toronto in, towards the end of February. So see you there. Now I'm going to shut this baby down. I'm going to get back to enjoying my drive and slap on some more music on the CD player and enjoy. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the 28th of December, I guess. Wait a minute. Boxing Day is 26th, 27th, 28th, yeah. So I don't know whether this is the end of one podcast or the start of another, or perhaps, maybe even better, nothing at all. Maybe just a discard clip. We'll see. Bye for now.
The name of the song is Call of the Moose. I listen to the older folks, to what they have to say. And I listen to the waterfall begging for another day. And I listen to an eagle cry, dying high in the sky. And I listen to the call of the moose, and she lays down to die. Don't you know, we gotta let him be. Don't you know, can't you see? And I listen to the man of the law, I listen to his way. And I listen to a crack of a gun, and I'm the one that had to pay. And I listen to the
the Ojibwe chant and to the drumming of the Cree. And I listen to the cry of the people dying of mercury. Don't you know we gotta let 'em be? Don't you know? Whippoorwill, the crickets are all in tune. And I listen to a dying tree and to the whistling of a loon. And I listen to a howling wolf echo throughout the night. And I listen to a bark of a seal, and he's just a buddy sight. Don't you know, you gotta let him be. Don't you know, can't you see? Don't you know, you gotta let him be. Can't you see?
Exactly.